It's good to see you guys this morning. I hope everything is going well for you. Listen, this is really one of the most favorite times of the year for me. And as we approach Thanksgiving, I tell you, my favorite thing about Thanksgiving as we get closer and closer to that day. And I don't know about you guys, but you know, family's important, but really, let's be honest, it's the food, right? I mean, come on. Just looking forward to a great feast of food and eating, because, you know, I need that and about as much as I need a root canal. So, but it is a fun time. But listen, this is the time where we start thinking about Jesus. We start thinking about our life. This is a prime time that we start thinking about the season that we're in life. It just kind of directs us to the idea of being thankful. And I'm just going to be honest with you, as a pastor, one of the hardest days and times to preach really is Thanksgiving. And that sounds funny, but there's only so many ways that you can talk about being thankful. And it's just it, just being thankful. So, but we're going to go a little different approach in a sense and kind of talk a little bit more about the power of thanks. What does it mean to be thankful, but what is the power that is a part of that? And I'm excited to be able to talk through a passage today that we see a story where we see this power take place. But first, before we do that, I think it's important for us to gear in and focus in on this Thanksgiving, this idea of being thankful. So what I want to do is just take a moment, and I want you guys to share with everyone what you're thankful for. What are some things that you are, that God has blessed you with, that you are thankful for? And that'll help us kind of focus in on the next few weeks of Power of Thanks. And so be thinking, you know, you don't have to be the first one, but somebody has to be the first one. I just want you to say it. Now, listen, I don't want a 5-minute testimony, but I do just want you to share something that you are thankful for. So what are some things that you're thankful for? Go ahead and just throw something out. Family. Your looks and personality. Well, tell the truth, Brian. All right. Your job. What else? Roof over your head. Health. This church.
Pastor.
Oh, thank you. How do you, that's, man. No, please. No, no, no. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Are you second? Oh, no, thanks, Jenna. I set myself up good there, didn't I? What else?
My kids.
Your kids. Yeah, kids. Sometimes. I mean, all the time. All the time. Yep, you're right. Definitely. Yeah, that's right. Till they get a certain age. No. Thankful for you. Jesus. Yeah, no doubt. What else? Blessing of your wife. Oh, man, brownie points. I like that, Dave. Good job. All right, good. What else? You don't go hungry. The food that we eat, definitely. What else?
Freedom.
Good Christian friends. Yeah. Anything else? God's blessings. Just God, who He is. We should be so thankful for that, definitely. Listen, we have all kinds of things that we are thankful for. There is power in thanks. And now, especially, as we kind of maneuver through our society and culture, thinking through the pandemic, and we bring that up all the time, it's just very real. It's where we are. As we think about the division in our country and the ups and downs of what we experience, and take it even to a more personal level for many of us in here, we deal with health issues, or we do deal with struggles in families. When we start experiencing the things that we are experiencing, it is ever more important now that we begin to show and to share thanks for what God has done in our life. There's no better way to refocus and to have perspective than to live a life of thankfulness and thanksgiving. And it's something that we do daily. So if you would open up your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke in chapter 17 this morning, talking again about a great passage of Scripture, a story that is powerful. And I love it. I love just the truth, and I can see myself in this story, and I'll tell you which part, which is will probably be interesting for all of us, but I think we all fall in line there. But Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11, we're going to read verses 11 through 19, then we're going to come back and talk about living a life of thanks and the power of thanks. So if you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? This is what God's Word says in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Father, thank you for your word again. Thank you for the power that's in your word. Our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would move and work in a powerful way this morning, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your notes this morning, you can go online and find those notes. Hopefully soon we'll start handing those notes out again, but you can go online and see that, or on the Bible app, you can get that. We're going to kind of loosely follow that a little bit. God... You know, sometimes God just kind of rearranges some things. And so this morning, I want to just walk through this passage with you and talk a little bit about it. And then we'll touch on some of our points. But I want you to hear the power of thanks. I want you to see and experience how much power there is when you live a thankful life. And so, again, keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 17. Let's walk through this. And it's such a fascinating story. Now, you guys are probably familiar with the idea of what was taking place at the time. Jesus never did anything by accident. He never did anything haphazardly. God knew everything he was doing. It was purposeful. So wherever Jesus went, it was on purpose. He was going for a purpose. He was going to speak to certain people for a purpose, heal people for a purpose. And even now to this day, as we read God's Word, there's purpose in what we read. And so as we look at this passage, know that God has allowed us to be a part in opening up His Word. There's a purpose for what we're hearing today. I believe that for all of us. Now, as Jesus was walking and he was making his way, it's very common for him to kind of work his way into Samaria. Obviously, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't have a great relationship. And so many times the Jews would go in a way different direction just so they could avoid the Samaritans. Jesus always had a different plan than that. He was looking for those that needed a rescue, and that's everybody. And so he purposely traveled in certain ways and certain places to make sure his truth is known. And so we find him walking somewhere between Samaria and Galilee into this village. And as he's walking into the village, which is probably pretty common at the time, those with leprosy, this really incredibly hurtful, hideous disease that was happening at the time, those that had leprosy were pretty much just cast out of the city. Like they would, all ties would be cut, their families would be, it would be over, listen, they'd be pushed out of the city gate, they'd be pushed out so people wouldn't have to deal with them, nobody would get sick, catch it, whatever, they're kind of pushed out. It sounds similar to coronavirus, but we'll save that for another time. But listen, that's kind of the culture of the times that they were in. And so here's Jesus walking through this city, and these 10 men that were outside the city gates, all with leprosy, recognized Jesus. So first and foremost, I want you to know they know Jesus. Like they see Jesus, they recognize Jesus. This wasn't like a stranger coming to them. They know who He is. And so when He is approaching them, what do they cry out? They cry out, "Jesus, Master, we need your help. Will you heal us? Will you make us well?" And so they were crying out to Jesus for that healing. Let me just first say, this is a side note. This is not something that that's in my notes. But listen, I think that is a great first step for anybody. I think we cry out to Jesus because let's just be honest and say that we are all sick. And I'm not talking pandemic. I'm not talking coronavirus. I'm talking sin. And we are all in desperate need to be healed and cleansed. And so that first step for us of healing and cleansing is recognizing who is present, and that's Jesus, and us crying out to Jesus. And so I want you to know, if you are here this morning, you're online this morning, if you know that you've never cried out to Jesus, called out to Him, asked Him to cleanse you and to heal you, then today's the day. Make sure you call out to Him. Because listen, Jesus is present. He is here. He's not hiding somewhere in a different place. Listen, with all the craziness of our world today, it's easy to think that our God is hiding somewhere. But listen, He knows all that's going on. He's in control. He's very present. The Holy Spirit is present. And you can cry out to Him, and He's faithful. So listen, that's the first thing. And I want you to hear that. These 10 men cried out to Jesus. I gotta hand it to them. They knew who to talk to. And now think about it. As they've been out there for so long, more than likely, what they experienced is far greater than anything we could ever think of experience with the coronavirus. I mean, I can't imagine being isolated in that way, shunned by the community, no one wanting to get close to you or touch you. The only companionship that you had, friendships, were those that other people that had leprosy. That's where they were. Think about that, because this is important as we get to the next part of this story. They probably experienced years of this. It was probably the most horrible time, obviously, for their lives. So disconnected. I hear you. Amen. That's right. I love it. I love that. She can do that all morning. I love it. But listen, that's where they are. And so now they cry out to Jesus. And what does He do? He says this. When Jesus saw them, He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Now, listen, Jesus doesn't show partiality. He doesn't pick and choose. So that should be reassuring for all of us. He looks at all 10 and He says, "Go and show yourself to the priest and you'll be healed." And so listen, it takes some faith for these guys. It does. It takes some faith for them to hear those words and to stand up. And it says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went to the priest. So they got up and they went into the city. Now, can you imagine all the people that were in the city? I just think about that and the picture that must have been. They probably were starting to walk into the city, and they probably knew the people that were inside that city. And as they're walking in, I'm pretty sure everybody's like, "Ah!" And then they see Him healing. They're like, "Ah! Oh, wow, that's great. That's incredible." I mean, I can just see the transformation as they're walking to the priest. It has to be incredible. And listen, God doesn't just do things halfway. So I think it's going to be incredible. They probably walked in and they probably looked pretty hideous. But then all of a sudden when they walked in and they started showing a little bit of faith, boom, they were healed. And it was probably the most amazing thing that those people had ever seen and the people experienced, those men, as they were walking in. I can't even imagine what kind of emotion they were going through. And listen, I say that because of what happens next. And it says, as they were going, they were cleansed. Then in verse 15, it says this. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. So the profound truth of this story is that 10 were healed. Only one turned back to fall on his face before Jesus. Now, at the beginning I said, I love this story because I can find myself in this story. Can I just be honest with you and transparent and say, you know, I'll use 9 out of 10 times because it's perfect for this story. 9 out of 10 times, I'm the 9 that's walking away. I want you to hear that because let me tell you, you might be thinking, "Well, Pastor, that shouldn't be the case," you know. But listen, I think we can all identify with that. I think we can all identify with where those 10 were coming from and where those 10 were going. We can identify with what was happening with the 9 because listen, many times in our life, and I dare to say most of the time in our life, we are so preoccupied with the blessing and the gift that we forget about the giver. That most of the time in our life, we are so preoccupied with the provision of God that we forget to turn back to the provider. Now, I don't know about you, but how many times do I go through a day and I experience the little blessings all through my day? I have the air that I breathe. I actually wake up in the morning, I have the air that I breathe. I get to see my kids. I have food that I get to eat. Listen, my day may be pretty tough. You know, listen, we got Corona going around. Church is kind of crazy at times. We have all these things. But listen, many times I overlook the provider because I'm so in tune with what's happening around me. Listen, as Christians today, can I just say, if you want power in your life that comes from living out your faith, it starts with being thankful for all that God has given us. There is power in thanks, but listen, there's power when we go to the one that deserves the thanks. And so we hear this story, and I'm fascinated by these nine that go, and we can read whatever we want into this, and I don't want us just to read into Scripture. I want to make sure, you know, there's not a lot that we know about these nine, but I just find it hard to believe those same men that recognized Jesus and cried out to Jesus, the same men that had enough faith in Jesus and in His words to get up and to walk back into a city. I find it hard to believe that these were bad men that had no heart at all. I truly believe that they knew who they were talking to. They knew who the provider was, but yet they were so preoccupied with what had happened in their life and overwhelmed in their life that they were reluctant and just didn't do it. They didn't turn back around and give thanks. But one did. One turned around. It says he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And as if that wasn't enough, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And it says, then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So here, I believe, is the power of thanks. Again, those 9 that left, they experienced healing. I believe that. They were cleansed. They experienced a miracle and they were healed. But only one turned around and gave thanks to God. And because he turned around and because he knelt before the feet of Jesus and praised him and gave him thanks, he walked away not only healed, but made whole. And can I just say for us as believers, listen, Jesus is in the business of working and moving. We are a very blessed people. There's not any of us that can walk out without recognizing the blessing in our life. But can I tell you, the real power of thanksgiving, the real power of being thankful is when we bow at the feet of Jesus because of all the blessings that He has given us in spite of the craziness of the world, in spite of the stresses that are around us, going to the feet of Jesus on our face, giving thanks to Him. Listen, the real power is that He makes us whole. There are a lot of people that experience blessings. There are a lot of people that get to experience good things. But I just want to ask the question, do you experience the power of thanks as He makes you whole? You know, we talk about peace and joy, and we talk about the compassion and love of Jesus. We talk about all those things. Listen, that happens when we turn to the provider and not just rely on the provision. That happens when we bow at the feet of the giver and not just rely on the gifts. And that's what this one man did. He turned around and bowed before Jesus. And the power of thanks, of him saying, "Thank you, Jesus." Listen, Jesus made him whole. So what does that look like for us? Listen, I just want to just challenge us this morning as we talk about the power of thanks. Because if we want to grow in our faith, if we want to leave an impact on this world, matter of fact, more than ever, people are looking at our social media. They're looking at our Facebooks and our Twitters and all those things. They're looking at us. They're looking at the church. And they're looking to see how we handle things. And can I just say, the world needs to see a church that is thankful even in difficult times. You know why? Because then they will see that we know who's still in charge. When I look at these men and I see this thought of thankfulness and the power of thanks, what I really begin to realize is that, you know, this idea of being thankful and thankfulness is really an outward reflection of an inward thing. It's a problem that we have inside. So listen, when we talk about being thankful in our life, this is an outward reflection of this inward condition that's going on in our heart. And I think about the nine, I think about the one that turned around, bowed at the feet of Jesus. So for him to be made whole and for him to experience that power is because Jesus took care of his inside. He was made whole. And so listen, for us, if you're not living a thankful life, if you find it hard, and I'm not talking about happy all the time, I'm talking about being grateful and thankful for what God has given us in our life, no matter the circumstances, but being grateful and thankful. If that's a difficult thing to do, listen, that's a reflection of something that's happening inside. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. If that's what you're experiencing today, then listen, we can gain some great insight from the one. What did he do? What was the first thing that one man did? He turned back. I love that. He turned back. So the other day, we went to a corn maze. How many of you guys have done a corn maze? Yeah, so they're pretty good. So we went to a corn maze, and on the website, it looked pretty good. You know, the pictures of this corn maze, everybody smiling and happy, you know, skipping through the corn maze. It was great. So we went to this corn maze and we were looking for the corn maze. You would think that that would be something easy to find. So we asked where the corn maze was. They said, well, it's around the corner. Go there. So we walk around the corner and lo and behold, it was not a corn maze. It was a weed path is what it was. And so it had weeds that came up to my knees and it was just one path that went all the way through. And I thought, man, if life was that easy, that'd be awesome. And so we walked through the path and got to the end and yay! It was great. It was fantastic. You know, one of the things about a real corn maze that I love is that how many times do you have to turn back? You may go left, you may go right, but eventually you get to a stopping point and you can't go any farther and you realize, all right, I gotta go back. You know what? Maybe in your life today, you're there. Maybe you've turned a certain way and it's caused you to get to this point and thankfulness is just not overflowing in your life. I want you to know thankfulness is essential. I think thankfulness is important in the Christian faith. And if you find yourself struggling to be thankful for what God has blessed us with, then maybe it's time to turn back. Turn back and focus back in on the one that is the giver, that is the provider. And when we do that, when we turn back to Him, we will experience and begin experiencing what the one man did as Jesus made him whole. So listen, this is an inward condition that we need to, as believers, make sure that we're taken care of. But also as we think about being thankful, and we see this in the passage too, as we look at not just this inward condition, but also I want you to know in Scripture, if you're struggling with being thankful, that's just not on your radar. I want you to hear this. And again, this goes back to, we're talking about, friends and forgiveness and things like that not too long ago. And this is very similar. Listen, thankfulness and being thankful to God as our provider and as our giver of all good things is not something in Scripture that is recommended. Now hear that. It's not recommended, it's required. To be thankful is not just when we feel like it, but it's a command. Listen, all through Scripture, what we find is we find what this one man did. Even though life was hard and it could be difficult, we remember who our gift giver is, and that's Jesus. And we are called and commanded to be thankful. Now listen, I understand you may think, well, that's pretty harsh, you know, that's very legalistic, and I don't mean that, listen, as legalistic, but I'm just saying, listen, thankfulness really starts with obedience. And we have all these disciplines in our life and we do prayer and we want to do scripture reading. Can I tell you, add thanksgiving to that? Being thankful, saying thank you to Jesus should be something that's a part of our every day and every moment. Listen, it's something that we are commanded to. We talk about rejoicing and we talk about praising. Listen, it's always tied to thanksgiving. You can look all through Scripture and you can find it over and over and over again. In Colossians especially, what we find is, it's saying always thankful. And in chapter 1, verse 3, abounding in thanksgiving. And that's chapter 2, verse 7. In chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devoting yourselves, being watchful in it and with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:15 just simply says, and be thankful. You know, you look in Psalms, we see it all through Psalms. Offer to God as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. We see this in Psalm 105:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Psalm 107:8. Thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Listen, all through Scripture, what we find is be thankful. And so when we talk about thanksgiving and being thankful and the power of thanksgiving. Listen, it's not just a recommendation for the believer. It's required. It's a command. We're called to be thankful in our life. And again, but it comes back to if this is something that's so hard, and I'm just going to challenge you to be, make this a part of your discipline. Just like when you read and pray and study, listen, add thanksgiving to that. Write in a journal. Give God thanks in a journal over and over again. When you wake up in the morning, give God thanks. When you go to bed at night, give God thanks. Make sure this is a part of your life. And it may be hard at times, but listen, it changes your life. There's power in thanks. And so may we follow what God has called us to do and live a life of thanksgiving. Now, I don't ever want to discount the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe the more that we spend in God's Word, the Holy Spirit wells up in us this desire and passion for thanks. But for some of us, listen, when you're in a valley, it's difficult, and you're going to have to say, today, I'm giving God thanks, even when you don't feel like it. So there's this obedience and trust and leaning in on the Holy Spirit. But whatever that trust looks like, listen, we are commanded to be thankful. And why is that? Listen, this is kind of how I want to wrap this up. Why is it so important? Well, look at this man that came back. And what did Jesus say? And I love this. He said, where are the others? Isn't that interesting? Where you would think that this man coming back, and Jesus would say, wow, that's impressive. That's amazing. But what's the first thing he said? Where are the others? And when I read that, I think, we're all supposed to give thanks. We're all supposed to do that. Nobody's exempt from that. We should all be thankful. Why is that? One, when we're thankful and we give thanks, listen, God gets all the credit. And I think this is what is so powerful about this story. This man comes back and he gives thanks to Jesus. Why? Because he realizes that he didn't make himself clean. Jesus healed him. Church, can I just say for us, who's going to get us through the coronavirus? Who's going to walk with us through the political atmosphere of our world today? Who's going to lead us tomorrow and the days to come? Jesus. It's not us. It's not going to be your staff here. Listen, that we don't have all the answers, but Jesus does. And so our thanks is given to God because He deserves all the credit. You may call it this. He deserves the glory. God deserves the glory, so we are to give it to Him. So when we give thanks, what we're saying is, God, You deserve all that I have. Thank You. Thank You for what You have done in my life. Give thanks to God because He deserves the glory. You know, in Romans chapter 1, what was said about the people of that time that was really the thing that did them under? You know, it's talking about the culture and the people. They were given over to their own sins is what Romans chapter 1, read it if you get a chance, talks a lot about our culture today. But Romans 1:21, it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. Listen, may we not be those people. May we be the ones that give honor and glory to the one that deserves it. Listen, when we give thanks, we are giving Him the glory and Him the credit. And I pray that's what we do every single day. What else? One of the things that I love about this. So those nine that went away, they probably went on and did their life. I don't think, and we don't know this, but I don't think they were unhealed, you know, when they took off. But I do think that they missed out. They probably went and did their own thing, and they probably missed out on the peace and the wholeness that comes through Jesus. But I will say this, for the one that came back, what happens when he gave his thanks to Jesus, what he was doing was opposite of what those nine did. He didn't retain control of his life. He released control. And one of the things, when we say thank you to Jesus, what we're doing is we're just saying, Jesus, it's all yours. Thank you. Thank you for what you've given me. This is not mine. I am yours. Thank you for what you have done in my life today. Thank you for what you're doing. This day is yours. So when we give thanks, we are relinquishing control to the one that needs to be in charge. It is a submission. It is humbling when you bow before God and give Him all the thanks and all the glory. But that's what this one did. On his knees before Jesus, saying thank you. It just gives you a different perspective. It changes your eyesight from me-centered and the world-centered to now you're focused in on Jesus. So when you say thanks, you recognize that He has control and authority in your life, and you hand it over to Him. It changes everything. But here's the biggest part. When he knelt before Jesus and he said, thank you, Jesus, what he was doing is he was connecting with Jesus. He was connecting with Jesus. Listen, we all need to be connected. We need to be connected with Jesus. And the way to do that is to kneel before Him and say, thank you. Jesus, thank you for what you have done in my life. Thank you for what you are doing in my life. I give everything over to you. Listen, that connection changes the way that you see the world. It changes the way that you see God work and move in your life and around you. Listen, can you imagine what will happen with your day when you started off by saying, thank you? I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you're experiencing and what's happening in your life and what heartache you may be having today, but can you imagine what the perspective will be when you start off with thank you? You have relinquished control. You have given it all over to Him. And you're connected to the one, the only one, that can get you through the day. And so I want to challenge you today. How thankful are you? Are you living a life of thanks? Are you living this life of gratitude daily? Are you the one that comes back and bows before Jesus? Or are you one of the nine? Preoccupied, self-centered, moving on. I want to encourage you today, be thankful. So one of the things I was kind of pondering over the last few weeks is, how do we let our world know that even in the midst of all this stuff, we're not afraid? How do we let the world know that the church is still standing strong because of Jesus? How do we let the world know? And I started looking. I tell Amy this all the time. I know I shouldn't look on Facebook, but I do. And it can be a very discouraging place. The problem is that a lot of times the discouragement comes from other Christians, which are really frustrating to me. But listen, it can be a very discouraging place. I think one of the things that we can do, and I'm going to issue this challenge to you guys and to myself. So we're going to do a 10-day challenge, and it's going to start tomorrow. So Monday, and it goes through the next Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So 10-day challenge. If you have social media, this will be a little bit easier maybe. If not, then you have to be real creative, maybe going to a neighbor or something like that. But for the next 10 days, every day, what I want us to do is I want us to post what we're thankful for. I want us to post what we're thankful for. Listen, the world needs to know that God is still in charge and that God is still doing things and God is still working. The world needs to know that even in the midst of a crisis, we still have things to be thankful for. And so I want to challenge you over the next 10 days, starting tomorrow, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it may be. I could say all the other ones, but I really don't know them. But whatever you are a part of, if it's just an email, if it's just going to a neighbor, saying how thankful you are for your neighbor. But listen, every day, I want to challenge us as a church to post something that we are thankful for that God has done or provided in our life. So, the 10-day challenge, Power of Thanks Challenge. And so I can't wait to look and see what God's going to do through that. And so let us know how people respond to that. And I listen, when we begin to be thankful, there's power in that. And God's going to do something big.